And then I walked backstage and I remember the first thing that I noticed was Tash Sultana and Milky Chance just like dancing together. And I was like, wow, I should not be here.
This is Fat Chats with the Lads.
With your boys Baz, Pricey and Liam.
Let's go.
I'm just trying to do something fun every day.
Never be afraid to go out and see the world.
If you're not into NFTs, you're missing out.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yo, another episode, another week. We are so stoked to be back in the studio with another guest. You might have seen him on Instagram, selling prints, NFTs. It's the king of drone images. You might have seen one of his travel videos on Instagram or YouTube. We're so stoked to have Jackson Roberts, my roommate. Welcome, man.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Yeah.
Keen to be here.
How was the traffic to get here?
Yeah, it was pretty busy, man. It was a
Big ride.
Long 5 meters.
Yeah. So you grew up in Ellenbrook, Jaxi?
I grew up in Ellenbrook, that's correct.
Awesome. Yeah. How was it growing up out there in the...
Out in the bush. Yeah, I mean, it was good. 22 years of my life out there.
So was your whole 22 years all in Ellenbrook when you were kind of growing up, those early days or...?
Yeah, so I basically like... My parents moved to Ellenbrook when it was like first ever developed and yeah, went to school there my whole life. Was so used to driving like so far to get everywhere. But like recently moved out here like a year ago to the beach, Wembley Downs. And yeah, I don't think I could ever live far from the coast again.
Yeah, exactly. Did you do junior school and high school all in Ellenbrook?
Yeah, yeah.
All there, your whole life?
My whole life.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What were you kind of doing throughout that whole schooling period? Like what were you into? What were you kind of loving at the time? Were you any sports that you were doing? Or how was your kind of childhood growing up there?
Yeah, I kind of ranged from a lot of hobbies and interests, I guess. Like I'd like... played footy for a few years and I played tennis. So I played basketball, played like different sports at school, then went back to footy. Like I was always doing like different sports and stuff. But then through high school, I'd kind of lost interest in it. And I guess I found like more interest in like music, which was my hobby then, I guess.
Yeah. So what sort of music, how did you kind of get into that? Was it instruments you were playing or you were just listening to music all the time or?
Yeah, definitely like stemmed from listening to music a lot as like a teenager, but like my mum was a musician as well.
Oh, weren't you in her band?
Yeah, I was in my mum's band for a little bit. Shout out to mum.
Oh,
yeah.
Sick. What's the band called?
Sweet Magenta. But she kind of does like more of a duo stuff these days as well. Jussie Roberts.
So you got the flick.
I got the flick. Yeah, I kind of had to make a choice of pursuing photography or pursuing music. Yeah, it was kind of like as everything was taken off, I was like in her band and then really wanted to do photography and traveling.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and she kind of had to replace me.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool now, like every time I wake up, my alarm's Jackson putting in his guitar into the amp and serenading me as I wake up in the morning, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that you grew up around your mum doing so much music and just being in the house as a kid that constantly is full of these creative pursuits that she's doing. Were both parents musicians or what was...
No, just mum. Yeah. Dad's a really good chef. He has some sort of creative there.
That's yeah, right.
But yeah, I think it really helped. You know, they supported me in my creative outlets as I was getting into it.
Yeah, they understood where you were coming from.
Yeah,
when you were doing it all.
Yeah, rather than like forcing me to like go to uni and do all that sort of stuff. But
how was like your high school career in Ellenbrook? Was it, you know, were you trying to get to the beach or were you just trying to pursue music specifically?
I don't know. It was kind of hard because like, you know, high school, I didn't have my license till I was like 18. So to get anywhere was a trek.
Yeah.
There's no train line in Ellenbrook. Like as you guys know, I don't think you have a train line.
Yeah, Hills, we definitely didn't have a train.
No, there was buses.
Yeah, Uber didn't even register Chidlow as a place.
I'm still not convinced Chidlow's an actual place.
Yeah.
So you said that you took a bit of a path in high school where you had to choose music and photography.
Yeah.
What was the point at which you kind of started picking up a camera or were introduced into taking photos?
Well, it was a little bit out of high school. So it was probably like, I think I was like 19. It's like 2016, I think. So I was, really into music, really into like wanting to start a band with my friends. Yeah. One day I just like discovered, you know, I've always been into like having a GoPro and like making like little travel videos as you guys were as well. Hey.
Yeah. We definitely started that way. GoPros.
Yeah.
On the iPads and GoPros.
Yeah. So I always had that sort of interest. But then one day I saw my dad's friend, he posted a video on his Facebook and it was a drone video. And this is like back in like 2016 when like no one really had drones.
News.
Yeah, like I'd never seen anything like it. I thought it was like in a helicopter or something. I was like, what is this? Like a flying camera? And then I had no idea, man, like that long ago, 5 years ago, it was like, new thing. So I decided I'm going to buy one of those. And I went and bought one. It was like, I think $400 at the time. And you attached a GoPro to it. It was like a real cheap, just plastic one.
I had one like that as well, actually.
Did you?
That's how I started, yeah.
What was it called? The brand?
Oh, dude, I have no idea.
I had one. It was like Quattro something.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, Quattro.
Do you remember the first one I had?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
And you couldn't see what you were filming. It was just like, mine couldn't. I don't know about yours.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't fly it. It's like, I bought it home and I tried putting the GoPro in and it was like, had these really small screws. And it was just stressing me out. And I was like, I hate this. This is ridiculous. Like, it took me like an hour to put this thing together. I was like, I just want to travel and like fly this thing. And like, I'm going to lose these screws. I'm going to like not be able to fly it. So I took it back to JB Hi-Fi and I was like, I'm done. Like, I don't even want to like try with this. And then the guy was like, oh, like you can have a look at like one of these ones. You know, they're like a lot better. You can like actually see what you're doing and stuff. And you don't have to attach a GoPro on it. It's got its own camera. And it was like an extra like $500. And I was like, oof, it's like kind of a commitment. It was a DJI Phantom 3, which like...
The OG.
The OG, yeah. So I committed and bought that. And yeah, I guess that was like a very big moment because I could have just like not pursued it then.
But yeah, wow. And that was 2016, was it?
Pretty sure it was 2016, drone. Yeah. Because it came up on my Facebook the other day, my first drone video.
Really? I was like, what were you doing for work at the time?
At the time, I was working at a bottle shop in Baskerville, yeah, called Rackages.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically just, you know, stocking shelves, driving forklifts and stuff like that. Didn't really feel like I was going anywhere. But, like, I never really knew what I wanted to do. Like, I definitely in school thought I wanted to do music, but it was very hard to actually pursue. So, like, throughout high school, I never really had a goal of what I wanted to do. But one day, I just kind of found my love for drones and photography. And then I think I posted, like, a few videos on Facebook of, like, the drone stuff. And then I think, within, like, a month, like, I was still working at the bottle shop at the time as well. Within a month, this guy like saw one of my drone videos and he's like, oh, like, are you able to come do some like drone work over like this marina? I think it was like Mindari Marina. And I was like, oh yeah. Like he just wanted some shots of the marina for like studies with science or something. And I was like, yeah, sick. I'll come do that for you. And then, yeah, like did it for him. Super easy, super fun. Cause I just love flying the drone as well. And then he paid me $150 and I was like, what? I was like, I didn't realize he could get paid for this stuff. Like this is wild.
Yeah.
And then, I decided to just like look into how to actually pursue this career. And I like got my drone license, quit my job within, probably like a month. And I remember like one day telling my boss and the way she looked at me, she just like looked at me like I was an idiot.
Yeah, wow.
I was like, I'm going to go fly drones and make money. And then she was just like, okay, good luck.
See you in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Come back crawling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess at the time it was all so new.
Yeah.
Like if you ask people now, they'd probably be more aware of it now. If you're telling people of your ambition going in creative and flying drones and making money from it. But back then, like it was so new.
Yeah.
Even drones on the shelves. Like.
Yeah. 100%. And just like, even like online businesses and stuff weren't as common back then. Everything e-commerce and all that as well.
When you took it out of the box for the first time, what did you like go and shoot? Straight away. Was it just around home? And
I think I went to Bell's Rapids.
So I'm just trying to shoot some nature stuff and just get some
shots. Yeah, just nature, basically. Like that's kind of the original reason I bought it.
So once you took that first job and that kind of snowboarded into other jobs, how did you then transition into doing travel and where was your first kind of place that you traveled to?
Yeah, so from the marine job, I kind of just like started putting myself out there on like social media and stuff, started posting like drone photos and I got recognized by Bird's Eye Media at the time. So yeah, he got me on board. I did like lots of commercial work through him, through Dean. And yeah, I did like lots of like real estate shoots, pretty much everything to do with the drone. Did that for like probably like 3 months or something like that. And then, I used to follow this girl called Sally Mustang on Instagram and she was like very free spirited and she lived in Byron Bay. And I always like looked up to like her free spirit. I was like, that's so cool. Like she's just like doing what she loves, creating art, just like living a cool lifestyle over there. And I like one day I just like reached out to her and I was like just so you know, like I love like what you do. Like I've like recently quit my job to pursue like what I love doing. And I didn't expect her to get back to me, but she like got back to me and said, oh, like that's so cool. Like, you know, like I'm actually looking for a photographer at the moment. Like, would you like to come over to Byron Bay and shoot some stuff for me? And I was like, what? I just like,
yes,
did not expect it. Just someone that I've always like looked up to, just like wanted me to come work with them. So yeah, before I knew it, I think it was like within a few weeks, I flew over to Byron Bay. Like first time like traveling by myself was just like insane.
No way.
Yeah, and just like created some cool content over there.
How old were you then? Was that 19, 20?
I would have been 19, I think. Yeah, 19.
And how long was that trip for then?
I think it was like a week. Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Cool.
And what did you do for her specifically? Were you shooting video or just drones or?
Yeah, all drone video. It was before sick. I actually had like a normal camera.
Oh, right. You had a drone before a normal camera.
Yeah, so this is all like,
that's,
dude.
That's hectic.
I literally just didn't have a normal camera for so long. I was just shooting with purely with a drone for ages because that's you can so pretty sick. Much shoot everything with a drone.
Yeah, true.
And then from there, I came back to Perth, like networked a little bit more, and then someone recognized the Byron Bay video because like she had like a large following. I think she had like 300,000 followers. So someone else recognized the drone video and they wanted someone to come with them to the Philippines and shoot drone content in the Philippines. And yeah, they got in contact with me and they were like asking like what camera gear I have and stuff like that. I was like, I just have a drone.
What?
And they're like, oh, if you can get a camera and a stabilizer, like you got the job. And I was like, went and bought a camera and stabilizer, learned how to use it within like a couple of weeks. And then before I knew it, I was on a plane to the Philippines with like 7 supermodels and like big crew. It was just like insane. I was like still 19. I was like, what is going on?
What is actually going on?
What were you shooting then in the Philippines? What was the project that you kind of?
So it was for a travel company. So they do like tours like in all different places of the world. One of them is in the Philippines. So they kind of just like take you on a trip, like an itinerary. And yeah, I just basically had to capture the trip and make a little travel video out of it. Yeah.
So that was your kind of first experience with travel?
Yeah, I'd never been overseas before.
Yeah, wow.
Like my parents had never taken me overseas. Like I traveled a lot of Australia. I'm very lucky to have seen a lot of Australia, but never been overseas. So like getting on that plane to the Philippines was just insane. It was like...
Yeah, that's crazy.
Were you nervous?
Yeah.
Very
dude,
nervous.
100%. 100%. Yeah. I still get nervous going overseas on planes, man.
It's yeah, like, that's fair.
Scary. How long were you there for then, that Philippines trip?
That would have been about 10 days.
Okay.
So it was a bit longer as well. I was on that trip and I just realized like I had no idea what I was doing. Like I'd bought that camera like so recently. Like I didn't know any settings. I was just shooting on auto. Like literally no idea.
That's the best way though. Just dive in and figure it out as you go.
That's like one thing I've learned like over these like few years is just like you got to dive headfirst into things. As soon as like an opportunity comes up, just like dive in. Don't be scared to fail. Don't be scared to,
And how was that? How did that video turn out? Or do you look back at that now and go, oh?
I mean, I look back at videos I made like 2 weeks ago and I cringe.
Oh, but true. Especially if you look at it too long, you just get sick of it.
Because knowing you, you're the biggest perfectionist I think I've ever met in my life.
Yeah. I look back at that Philippines video and I actually do enjoy watching it though.
Oh, sick.
I think it's like more of like, the memory.
Nostalgia.
Yeah, it's very nostalgic. It was
like did you make a fair few connections through that trip then that kind of took you to the next place or maybe gave you more exposure to new jobs and projects?
Yeah, after the Philippines trip, I kind of like came back to Australia and I was just doing a lot of work here. I was traveling around a little bit and like a few other like opportunities come up. I think within the next year, I got the opportunity to go to Japan as well through the same tour company.
Sick.
Which is, like 2017.
So just nonstop travel for a little while after that, just traveling to different places when it came up and working as much as you could in Australia?
Pretty much, yeah. That was like, I just kept spending all my money on camera gear and then wanting to just travel with it. Like I've never had a plan really.
You're just enjoying it.
Just enjoying it, man.
Going with it.
Yeah. So 2017, Liam and I, you and I were still in high school. And I remember coming across your Instagram, Jackson, and talking with the boys at school. And then our mate, Hamo, from school just happened to say that he was actually your first cousin. And from then on, and he told me that and I was just blown away. How many followers would you have had at what kind of level would you have been at then?
2017.
8,000.
Yeah.
But I just remember being
early
blown
days
away.
Of all the drone stuff and days. We'd never seen much like that before. So it was kind of cool for us who were doing little bits and pieces with iPads and GoPros to see someone traveling around with a drone. So
Those
were early days.
Crazy to think that, hey. I remember Hamish like mentioning to me as well, he's like, my friends love your stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, cool.
Yeah, literally. And I remember
one of my fans.
Yeah. Literally. I remember messaging you and being so stoked to get it, even a reply back. And now here we are.
Sure.
Yeah. I think that was a big turning point for us as well, because I remember in English of that year, Baz was just looking to get a drone the whole year.
Yeah,
because he was looking at your stuff and a few others that were doing drone content online, And every English lesson we'd be sitting in there, just should have been doing our essay planning and all that sort of stuff. But he was looking up Dick Smith drone prices and when it was going up and down, because we were going to buy one just solely from kind of what you were putting out and a few others on the internet as well.
I clicked to buy it in English.
In English class.
And all the boys were up and about. Our English teacher wasn't impressed at all. Yeah, it was so sick. But yeah, you were genuinely the reason why I got that drone.
Oh, mate.
Going back to messaging people who you admire, do you guys ever see influencers or people you know on Instagram that you've never met, but you just message them and like don't expect a reply?
Well, yeah, it was like when I messaged Sally and then I got a reply and went to Byron Bay. It's like you shouldn't really be afraid to reach out to people.
Because not at all. Well, they're just normal people too.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They just happen to see a message request. And
that's right.
So after this bit of travel in 2017, what were some other trips that kind of lined the dots and kept snowballing onto the next one, and how did that play out?
Yeah, so from there, I did a lot of travel around Australia as well, but I think like the main one was I got in contact with another tour company that did very similar things to One Life Adventures, which was the Philippines. And they sent me to Thailand, did a job in Thailand for like 2 weeks, which was insane as well. Thailand's like beautiful. Mm-hmm. Came back and they wanted me to go to Indo. So I did like a full tour of Indo. I think I was there for like 3 weeks.
Damn.
Yeah, and there's an interesting story with this trip, actually. I remember being at the airport on the way there, and I was just sitting next to, like, the phone charger where you charge your phones at the airport. And this guy comes up to me, and he's like, oh, dude, do you mind just, like, looking after my phone while it's on charge? Time goes by. We start getting on the plane. Like, he comes, gets his phone. He's like, cheers. Go sit on the plane, and then turns out he comes, and he sits next to me. Like, he's actually the guy sitting next to me. I was like, we're just like laughing. He's like 60 years old or something. And we're just having like a laugh about it. We're like, oh, this is crazy. Like, what are the odds of that? And then, we're just having good chats the whole trip. Like, he was just chatting to me the whole trip, buying me beers and stuff like that. And then, I got into like conversation about how I'm a photographer and stuff. And he's like, oh, like you should go to my friend's villa. He owns like one of the best villas in Bali. I was like, what? Like, that'd be sick. Like, do you reckon I could take photos of it? And he was like, yeah, like here's his email. Like, I'll get you in contact. Like, email me when we're there and I can like link you guys up. Yeah, got there, like got linked up, and then ended up staying at like this $2,000 a night villa. Like, it was insane. Just for free, just to take a few photos, basically.
Connections.
Yeah. And then from that led into a job in America, because it wasn't like directly, but like I posted a video of the villa, like a drone video of the villa on my Instagram, just with like a drone, like pulling away, showcasing the villa. And a guy in Texas saw that video and got in contact with me, and he wanted me to come work for his, it was like a tech company in Texas.
What?
Like, I didn't know at the time, like he'd just got in contact with me, but when I was in Texas, he was like, yeah, I saw that video of the villa and I wanted you to come do some drone work. I was like, what?
That's so crazy.
When you were traveling around, did you make a conscious decision to, because you realized a few examples of where connections had given you all those opportunities, did you have a conscious decision to look for connections, or do you feel like it all just came to you and it just all kind of panned out like that?
Honestly, I think it just kind of came to me a lot of the time. Yeah, I didn't really look too much. I was like always on the move. Like I was always in a different place doing a different thing, which is kind of, putting yourself in that position. New things are going to come for you.
Yeah.
So I was never really like sat in like a comfort zone all the time. I was always like changing where I am, like doing different jobs, pretty much saying like yes to every job at the time. I was just like burning myself out. But when you put yourself like outside of your comfort zone like that, you're going to get new opportunities arise.
Definitely. 100%. So at that time, were you solely just posting online on Instagram in particular, and were you reaching out to people as well, or was it kind of all through the connections you'd made that these opportunities were coming about?
No, it was all connections. Like, I post on Instagram and stuff like that, but I never really reached out for work, I guess.
That's crazy.
That I can remember.
I am messaging like 30 companies a day, like, please let me shoot that.
Oh no, it's definitely different these days. I think back then it was like there was a lot more opportunities with travel and stuff. Obviously we're a bit restricted with that these days.
So how long did you kind of stay on that travel train for then? Were you traveling around, and then how long did it take you before you kind of came back to Perth and spent some time here?
Yeah, it was like at least, until like 2019. Like, I was traveling quite a bit. Like, I remember, when like COVID started and we couldn't travel, I was kind of like, okay, maybe like it's kind of good to actually have my feet on the ground for a little bit,
because
I was just like on the move, like always like wanting to travel, always wanting to go somewhere new.
Yeah.
Yeah, like went to America a couple of times in 2019, which was pretty sick.
Just before COVID kind of hit?
Yeah, it was literally like, I think October 2019, I was in Miami.
Yeah.
I was very grateful for that because...
Tell us about that job. That was a pretty pivotal job for you.
Yeah. So that kind of links to the Texas job as well, because like I got a cool video of that bird flying in Texas.
Yeah, that went ballistic, didn't it?
Yeah, I was...
Online?
I couldn't believe it, man. It doesn't even look like Texas. It was crazy. And yeah, like posted that on Instagram, and then this company, they're actually from London, like a clothing company. They saw the video and they're like, oh, do you want to come to Miami to video shoot with our clothing brand? I was like, yes, definitely.
Let's go.
Didn't even think twice about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was cool. That was like a hectic job though. I think I flew over. It takes about 30 hours to get to Miami from Perth.
Yeah.
It's like on the other side of the world. Yeah. Filmed there for 4 days. And then on the fifth day, flew back another 30 hours.
Far out.
That's gnarly, eh?
Yeah.
So from 2017 to 2019, how were you kind of, I guess, charging yourself to do all these work? How did you figure out how to actually price yourself and where you were valued at in the industry?
Definitely, like, I definitely undervalued myself a lot. I think because you just don't know. Like, no one really tells you how much you can charge.
Yeah.
Especially, like, with these jobs where I'm going overseas and stuff, I'm like, I want to do this job, so I don't want to, like, overcharge them and then they just say no. But I've realized recently that you should just, like, highball everyone.
Yeah.
Because like they're not always just gonna like ignore it. They're gonna like just like lowball you if anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You just gotta value yourself a lot more.
Well, if you value yourself, then other people will value you and they'll see you as see you as a higher person that they want to actually get in to shoot stuff. So
yeah, 100%.
It'll come full circle in the end.
100%. Well, with that Miami job, when I was there, he was the guy who owns the company. He literally said to me, he's like, you know, we would have paid you like 4 times more than what you charged.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
And really? I was just like,
so he said that to your face.
Yeah, he just told me straight up. He didn't pay me more. He just told me. He's like,
what a dog.
Like, yeah, he just told me like straight up. He was like, look, like you undervalue yourself. You should charge like at least
unlucky
4 times.
Unlucky bro.
Least.
Yeah.
You just missed out on $6,000.
Yeah. Was that a bit of an eye opener for you?
Yeah, that was kind of the moment where I was like, you know what, actually, I think I should charge more.
And yeah.
And he's got no job since.
I'm actually homeless right now.
He's under our roof.
Yeah, technically.
Literally is.
Technically.
You're on fire.
Yeah. Screw you guys.
Enter the cricket sound.
Yeah. Where is it?
Just trying to carry this combo. Come on, guys. So, Pricey, while all of this was happening, you were spending your time studying a chemistry degree.
Yeah, literally, while you guys were out traveling and doing everything, I was at a university.
And I reckon you mentioned the chemistry degree more than Jackson's mentioned he's traveled the world.
You reckon?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've definitely
brought it up.
Yeah, you have.
There's
all
no
the time.
Way I've never brought it up.
The first day I met you, you said, I've got a chemistry degree.
I've got a chemistry
degree. It's basically written in your
absolutely.
Forehead, man.
Yeah. I think everyone who knows you knows.
Well, I paid $30,000 for that, so yeah, you guys should know.
I'd be telling everyone if I had a chemistry degree.
So COVID hit in 2019, you were forced to be back here in Perth. What did you kind of reflect on in that time? And
2019 was kind of like the end of travel. I went to Cocos Island, did a cool trip there. And then, 2020 came back to Perth and, travel was very restricted. So I kind of had to get my feet on the ground and actually sort my business out a bit more, which was a good thing, I think. Because, before that, I was kind of just like going from like job to job, place to place, just like burning the candle at both ends. I just needed to like slow down a bit. It allowed me to just like have more time for myself, like get back into some other hobbies like music, playing guitar, which I pretty much gave up while I was like headfirst into photography.
So speaking of music, I've heard you've had some pretty crazy stories over the years at festivals all across Australia, but in particular, a crazy story of you at GTM. Can you please tell us and unravel?
Yeah, so some people have heard this story. I definitely told Baz and Pricey. I don't think Liam's
Liam,
heard
you're
it.
New.
No, I'm keen to hear. Fresh ears, hit me.
So I think this was like 2015, GTM. So like back then, you know, festivals were just happening constantly. And there was like a few festivals I went to and I kept getting like people come up to me and they'd like recognize me and they're like, oh, are you Stu McKenzie from King Gizzard, the lead singer? And I'll just go along with it. I'll be like, yeah. I was just like, you know, going along with it. And they just get photos of me. They're just like, I'm just like posing. Like, it happened a few times at a few festivals. And then, GTM 1 year, I just like happened again. And this is probably like third festival that it happened at. And I like lost all my friends. I was like by myself, and like all these random people come up to me. They're like, "Oh, are you from King Gizzard?" Like, I think I just like wore my hair the same as him at the time, or something like that. Like, kind of looked similar in the face, but I wouldn't think I looked exactly like him. I didn't really know many King Gizzard songs as well. But yeah, I'd had all these people come up to me. I was getting photos with them and stuff. And like this one guy was like, "Oh, like why are you not backstage, man? Like you should be backstage with like all the other bands and stuff." And I was like, "Oh, I don't know, man. I got kicked out. Like, I don't know what like what's going on." And then he's like, "Dude, I know the owner of Headspace. Like I can get you backstage like so easily." And I was like, "Let's do it." And me and this like random guy, like I think he was like younger than me as well. He was like 18. I was like 19. We just like run up to like the Headspace area, like near the fence, and the guy's just like, you know, "Oh, like this is the lead singer from King Gizzard. Like he got kicked out of backstage," and he's like, "Dude, I love your music. Like if you have any problems, like here's my access all areas pass, like give me a call, here's my number and stuff." And at this stage, man, I was like so drunk. I was like, I don't even know like what I'm doing, but like this is
just go with it.
I was just going with it. I was like, fake it till you make it, see what happens.
Yeah. So you got a AAA and you went backstage?
Yeah, he gave me his AAA pass, and then I walked backstage, and I remember like the first thing that I noticed was Tash Sultana and Milky Chance just like dancing together, and I was like, wow, I should not be here. But I'm just gonna roll with it. And I just like walked up, and I was just like, there was like probably like 10 people in this backstage area. I was like, sick, this is, you know, a vibe. Like, yeah, all these like famous people. I'm like, never been backstage before. Like,
that's crazy.
Didn't know what to do. And
so
then
what happened then? Yeah,
I went up to Tash Sultana, and I was like, "Oh, I love your music, like, you know, like I'm a big fan." She's like, "Oh, who are you?" And I was like, "I just snuck backstage. I don't know what I'm doing." And she's like, "You know, you shouldn't do that. Like, you're going to get in big trouble." And I was like, "All right,
maybe
I shouldn't do this." And then at that stage, I was just like, kind of like worried that I was going to get like kicked out or something. And the whole time, like I had this guy with me. He still thinks I'm King Gizzard. He's just like, not the Headspace guy, but the guy that originally got me in. He doesn't have an access all areas pass. He somehow tagged along. Yeah, and then we're just like hanging out in the area, and then all of a sudden the Headspace guy like runs up to me again, and he's like, "Oh, dude, like I found the manager of GTM. He wants to have a chat to you. Like, why are you here?" And I'm like, "All right, let's do this. I was like hyperventilating, dude. I was like, "Oh my god, I'm gonna get kicked out. This is gonna be the worst thing ever." And then yeah, the manager comes up to me and he's just like, "Oh man, like how come you guys aren't playing? Like we're in contact with you and you said you couldn't play. Like didn't realize you're coming down and stuff like that." And I was like, "Yeah man, you know, like we've just been like, you know, the band's not really tight at the moment. We're just kind of like doing everything." And then yeah, I just like kind of bolted from that conversation. He didn't suspect a thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Could you imagine next minute there's all these articles about King Gizzard, the band's not tight and everything.
Not tight. Imagine. You guys were playing and you got brought onto the stage,
dude,
as a lead singer. And they were like, get on, ushering you on, and you just had to come.
You had to try and sing, and Jax can't sing. You can play guitar.
Would you just be honest? Would you have to be honest?
If you got pushed up there and you were just there and everyone was looking at you, would you give it a go and just belt it out?
Yeah. Definitely.
Like, even though you don't know any King Gizzard songs.
I know a couple. I know like,
but they start playing one you don't know. What do you do?
I reckon you just try
freestyle. You just gotta freestyle, man. You gotta make the most of being in that moment.
You know, I would laugh so much if I saw that, dude.
Oh my god, the crowd, this is so random.
It goes right back to the moment where I wanted to be a rock star all along.
Yeah, there you go.
That was your full circle.
Yeah. You gotta fake it till you make it. Oh my god. Yeah, it'd be classic, but
imagine standing there, the music's playing and there's just no words coming out.
The drummer's looking at you, everyone's just like, "What are you doing, mate?" This is the far we see.
That would go viral for sure.
Oh, dude, I'd put myself in that position.
I'd say the guitarist and drummer would know if it was Jackson or their lead singer.
Yeah.
They know each other well enough.
Yeah, I think this was just some like random drunk people at a festival, man. Like they had no idea.
Yeah, I reckon they'd rock with it.
Yeah.
And they saw some music coming through, they'd just be like, "Yeah, no worries, guys."
It's the greatest story
ever. That's an epic story.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But that basically sums you up, and especially like you said before, with the traveling and stuff where you just said yes to every opportunity ever? Because I'd say most people would be like, all right, I've got to be honest. Like, we've taken this too far. I'm not a good singer.
Yeah, you got to roll with it, man. Like, it's like Yes Man. If you ever watched that movie, he just says yes to everything, so it happens. They came up to me and they're like, you King Gizzard? I was like, yes.
Yes.
So you spoke about early on growing up in Ellenbrook and now we're on the coast. How did that decision come about?
I mean, I definitely always wanted to live by the coast. You know, like pretty much all my drone photos were like of the beach. Like I'd be traveling from Ellenbrook to the beach like constantly going down south, constantly like coming out to like Mullaloo, which was like the closest beach. So living by the coast was just something I've always wanted to do, or just like closer to everything as well. And I was kind of like looking for an apartment at the time, and then I saw this one in Wembley Downs pop up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, this looks pretty cool.
Crazy story. Then,
yeah, I, you know, was just kind of keeping an eye on it, and then a couple of days later I saw Liam put it on his Instagram story.
Yeah.
Yeah, chucked on Insta story of us moving in because we'd moved in about a month earlier.
Yeah.
And it just turns out that we happen to be looking at the same place.
Yeah. Oh, because you just moved in a month earlier.
We moved in a month earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which still don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
And I don't know how two 20-year-olds got approved. Honestly, for a lease.
My dad was blown away. He still doesn't believe us at all.
We were 19 at the time. Were we?
No.
No, I was 20.
Were we?
Yeah. Oh, 20. Yeah, yeah.
Two 20, kind of technically unemployed.
Teenagers
rock up to this nice Wembley Downs area.
It was so bizarre. Beautiful and every apartment. Place we were looking at it had the biggest line of people ever. Yeah. And this place was kind of quiet. I don't know why still.
But it was the best place that we'd seen.
Oh, yeah, by far. And I remember you didn't even see it. And I called you and said, Lynn, this is the one we're applying right now.
Yeah.
And you still hadn't seen it.
I was offered a family dinner or something. I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Or something, family event. And you came down by yourself. And you FaceTime me and you're like, this is the one?
I said, Liam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even see it.
And
he came in the car, he applied for it. And then I was like, sick. I hope it's good because if we get it, I haven't even seen it.
That's probably
and then we literally, the next day, was it the next day?
Because I spoke to the real estate agent while I was here. I was like trying to get a good name in and, you know, good chats.
Alicia.
That's
probably why you got it is because Liam wasn't here.
Yeah, oh, I agree. True. I think I did all the work. If I'm honest.
I spotted it. I think I was looking Liam online. I spotted it. So initial work, that's put.
I took it from here and took it on board, and I had a good chat with her, and she reckoned, if we get it in early enough, if our application is fine, then we're chilling. Like she won't look further. So I was like, Liam,
let's get on it. And
we
did it that night.
And then
the next, maybe it was the next few days.
Because when did you apply? Because
it must have been like a month after.
Because all three of these were up for available.
Yeah, because I remember looking and seeing it on your story. I was like, dude, I was going to get this apartment because it was the one that was on the website.
Mm. Yeah.
I was like, you stole my apartment.
What the hell? But there was heaps of them.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
You messaged me and you're like, dude, there's one next door. Like, apply quick. And then, applied. Went in like a couple of days later.
What are the chances?
And we're just like, what?
I remember when we got accepted for it, we had no idea what was happening because we didn't even expect to be moving out. So we were just like, what are we going to do? I haven't even seen the place.
We didn't even
I'm moving out of home for the first time ever. I've never even seen the place I'm moving into. So we just decided it was late at night. And I was like, Baz, let's just drive down. We just get in the car, send it all the way down.
The only way you saw inside was actually somehow we came across the neighbor and he let us into his place. While he was
packing
up.
The dude who used to live in your house.
Used to live in yours, yeah.
I knocked on his door. He was just out the front and he said, oh, wait, what are you guys doing here? And we were like, oh, we're moving in here. We've got the place. But it was all locked up. And so he said, come in here and I'll have a look. And his place was so dirty. It was just clothes everywhere, a bit of a mess. And I was like,
and Liam was stressing. Liam's like, I just don't know.
We can't live here, guys. We can't do it. And literally he showed us around. And I was like, thanks, mate. Thanks a lot. But that was actually super helpful of him.
So. It was,
because it's the exact same apartment. And now
it's a mirror.
Jackson and I live in
there. They're literally mirrored.
Which was crazy.
Yeah, and then, I have more room in my room than Baz has in his.
I really hate that too.
Yeah. Somehow. But it is a mirrored version of it. But we got the apartment. And then a month later, you moved in.
Yeah.
And snowballed. Then, and now look at us go.
Now we've got Zakos up there as well.
How have you found that kind of community we've kind of formed here at Wembley Downs with us boys and kind of our creative pursuits?
I mean, therapy's helping.
You
know? it's pretty awesome. You know, I don't think we'd ever have like an opportunity like this again.
Because we were talking about it, weren't we? About potentially moving over east for a bit, sussing that scene out. But then we kind of looked back and realised there's no way in the world we could ever get this back. Three boys in three different apartments in the same complex.
I don't know anyone that's had this kind of like living style ever.
With all of us doing the same thing.
Yeah, all of us. Same mindsets. As well. Like I tell people that, like people, like, yeah. I live next door to my like best mates and like roommate and you know, like we're all photographers. Like,
yeah. And crazy. People get cool so excited coming here because we're always posting on our stories and stuff. Yeah. Like, all the famous apartment complex and whatever.
All our mates who are in the same industry are dropping by all the time and it's just, feels like a sick energy and vibe.
It is.
Everyone's just hanging out at.
I'm so keen for summer as well. Like,
yeah, 100%.
It's going to be good. So good.
Last summer was good, but this is going to be even better.
Yeah, it's going to be great. But yeah, what we have here is pretty special, I think.
I think it's almost as special as
He's dropping it.
Where's he going with this?
Mate, you have to leave that in there.
You have to leave that in.
I can't put that in.
Yeah, one way.
I'm not putting that in. No way. Oh, you've got the video. Yeah. Mate, you're done. You're done, mate.
No.
You are so done.
I'll send it to her.
Yeah. I'm tagging her.
I would actually move out if you did that.
I'll send it to her.
Would you be happy if I moved out?
Yes.
If got to see it, then I'd be
stoked.
I would leave the complex.
Would you?
If you said that to her. Yeah, like, on a real note, I would.
So now you're here in the Cali Road Apartments. What's the future? What projects are you working on and where are you looking?
I guess like one of the latest things that I've been like diving into would be like a lot of crypto and NFT. That side of things.
What is an NFT?
It is a non-fungible token. And it basically, I don't know the best way to explain it, but the way I look at it is like if you have like a digital piece of art. So if you had like the Mona Lisa, the original, like if you owned the original Mona Lisa as an artwork, you own that original Mona Lisa. So you can basically do that in digital form. So like if someone buys your digital photo, they own the digital version of it. They don't own any rights to the photo unless you give it to them. They just own basically your photo in like the metaverse, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And you've launched your own NFT collection of photographs that has been a new exploding world of interest.
Yeah, I kind of like, you know, they've popped out of nowhere, NFTs, they kind of came out. I mean, they've been around for years, but they're only becoming like a big thing like quite recently. And I've always been like someone to just jump into things like straight away. It was kind of like with the drone. I saw the drone. It was like a new thing. I was just like, I'm going to dive into this. It was the same with like NFTs. I saw one of my friends like being really successful with it. And I kind of had an idea of what NFTs were. But like when I saw how he was killing it, I was like, I'm getting into this. I'm like giving up everything I have this week and I'm just putting all my time into it. So I had like all these other projects I should have been doing, but I was like, if I don't do this now,
you're going to miss out.
I'm going to miss out, but it's not like, I definitely couldn't like, you know, it's not too late to still get into it now.
Yeah,
but 100%. I just like, when I see something like that and I'm interested, I just got to get into it.
And we saw firsthand how much work you put into it. Cause we didn't see you for about a week, I reckon.
Yeah. It was epic.
I just saw the back of his head.
In his office.
Hey Jax, how are you? Yeah. Good mate. Nice. All right, have a cool one.
Sick, bro.
Where's the clap button? Is it this one?
Holy crap. Yeah.
I was like, when's he stopping? Stop any time.
Cut him out. My God.
Just cut the cord, mate. Cut the cord. It's okay, pricey.
Career highlights. What are some of your most proud moments of the work you've done or who you've worked with?
There's definitely a few. I think probably my like biggest highlight, or like proudest video that I've made was with Beautiful Destinations, which if a lot of people don't know what that is, they're just like I guess they just post like different travel videos of different places around the world. And like growing up into photography and videography, I always like looked up to this brand. Like all these big creators like made videos for them.
The kings.
Yeah.
How many followers do they have?
Oh, I don't know, like millions.
Millions.
Yeah.
You're like 15 plus million.
But you always look up on all platforms really as the kings.
They were always like, you guys would know, like, you know, as videographers, like you look up to Beautiful Destinations. And I was like, one of my like goals was to make a video for them. I was like, you know, never really knew how it was going to happen or when it was going to happen. But when I was in Miami, actually, the guy who owns the company in Miami, he is good friends with the guy who owns Beautiful Destinations. And we got talking about it on the trip and I was like, you got to link me up. Like, like somehow like link me up with this guy. And he linked me up with him. I showed him my Cocos video that I made, and he loved it, and he was like, sick, can you make one that's like shorter for us, you know, like just cut it down a little bit. And yeah, I ended up making a video for Beautiful Destinations, and that like ticked that off the bucket list, and I was stoked.
That's huge.
You said they gave you a lot of like positive feedback and stuff. Have you found that's helped you a lot as well?
Definitely, yeah. He definitely gave me a lot of critical feedback. Yeah, it was, you know, not like real bad stuff, but like it was a lot of things, you know, like your color grading's a bit off. Like, you know, there was like some shots of my friends, and he just told me straight up, he was like, you look like, people are not really going to care about your friends. Like they don't know who you guys are. Like just, you know, include more of the destination and like some fun shots, you know, like not vlog style, I guess. Cause my mom was kind of like vlog style. Yeah. And like that, all that feedback was like meant a lot. Cause I was like, it was coming from such a inspiration.
Cause that's one of the videos I show like my mates back home. I'm like, dude, like, this is my roommate. This is his work. Like I'm, I don't know, like a proud mum or something. I'm just like, dude, this guy's sick. He creates the sickest videos. I show him all your work and they love it. So
it means a lot, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So obviously that's a pretty monumental achievement to have a Beautiful Destinations video. What's kind of the plan going forward? What projects are you going to be continuing to work on, you know, going into next year, and the work you're going to be going on to, and where are you going to take it?
Yeah, well, I guess like NFTs is definitely going to be a big thing. I still need to put a lot more time into that because that's, I think that's going to be a big thing in the future. So over the next few weeks, I'm planning to like put a lot more time into that. But I'm also currently working on a video that I did for Northern Territory Tourism as well, which was another like big job as well. So I'm hoping, you know, over summer, like there's going to be a lot more opportunities come up, which they usually do. I've like honestly never really had a plan with anything. Like I know a lot of people do. They like have all these like plans and these goals. Like sometimes people are like, oh, like, what are your goals? Like what, I mean, I have like goals, I have like small goals, but like, I don't have a big end goal, I guess. I'm just kind of taking it as it comes and see where I go.
So what's like, once travel opens up next year, do you think that's a opportunity you kind of want to start exploring again?
Definitely.
Yeah. Sick.
Yeah.
There's what's a lot your of like kind of one destination you want to go to that's on the top of the bucket list?
I think Iceland.
Iceland.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll come.
Yeah. I think that's at the top.
So you were talking about before, Jack's about not having a plan and not worrying about a plan. Does that ever scare you? Because I know so many people worry about having everything set up perfectly and having their own plan. How do you go about that?
Yeah, so I've always had a backup plan, I guess. Like I've always had my parents to fall back on. They've always really supported me with what I do, you know. So like if like worst case scenario, everything does go wrong, like they're there to support me. Like I got friends, you got family, like there's a lot of people that will be out there to help you. A main thing for me is like everything that I've like wanted to do, like whether it be like, you know, getting into photography, getting into like music, getting into NFTs, like I just like dive first and like put all my energy into it. And yeah, I just believe in myself and it seems to work from there.
I think that we've all experienced that in some sort of degrees, just, you know, tackling whether it's something creative or not. It's just, you know, putting your balls to the wall.
How do you just put... think balls to the wall.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know what to say. So you talk about there like diving in head first into, you know, NFTs and photography and stuff like that, especially when you're growing up, transitioning out of high school. I think we've all kind of experienced something like that before, you know, whether it be in the creative industry or not. But yeah, one thing we can all attest to is that putting yourself in that uncomfortable position and diving in head first, putting all your energy and effort into something that you want to succeed at, you know, chances are the odds are going to be in your favor and, you know, you're going to come out on top.
Said it perfectly, man.
Well done, Pricey. Good effort.
Well done. That was good.
So, Jax, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. You're one of our best mates and it's been an absolute honor seeing you succeed and I can't wait to see where you go and it's been awesome chatting today.
Yeah, we're so stoked to have you, man.
Stoked to be here, boys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate.
Big trip home,
let's go.